Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. I worship Him because of who He is. Amen. Well, who is He, Brother Rob? He's my Lord and my God. Amen. He is my salvation and my Savior. Amen. He is my everything. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Amen. He provides. He's my healer, my redeemer. Hallelujah. He is everything to me. Without Him, I am nothing. I have no life. I have no hope. I have no chance. I've got one thing to look forward to, and that is eternal damnation and for eternal torment forever and over. But because of who He is, my Redeemer, because of who He is, my Savior, because of who He is, my salvation. Amen. I've been granted everything that pertaineth unto life. Amen. Hallelujah. Because of who He is. Amen. That's an awesome thing to think about, saints of God. We got to love Him for who He is. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's our everything. Amen. Praise God. I think they're going to sing one more song, and we're going to go into the Word here this evening. Lord, allow us. And so don't be in a hurry, saints of God. I think of many Friday nights in the world. People out all half the night, don't think nothing of it. Go to the movie theaters and they watch that second feature, I guess they call it, huh? You know? They go to the ball game and be snowing and sleeting out there, and they'll sit on a bench and never complain. Get a splinter in their hind end and their earlobes get frostbitten, huh? And they won't ever complain. Amen. Praise God. For Him. As we close our eyes and sing this song with them. As we sing about that wonderful Savior, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
So pure and so kind.
We worship you, Lord God.
You shine.
Thank you, Lord.
Like a bright morning star. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
What a wonder you are.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
We love you, Lord God.
What a wonder you are.
Hallelujah.
So pure and so kind.
Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands and let Him fill you with His wonderful praise and His power. Let Him anoint you with joy and peace. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus,
we love you, Lord God.
What a wonder you are.
I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is not short. We praise you, Lord God, for your mercy,
so
your grace.
So
thank you, Lord.
You shine.
Shine
like a bright morning
Father God, we thank you and praise you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for the access into your presence, Almighty God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that the heavenlies aren't a distant dream, Lord God, but an ever-present opportunity to worship and to dwell and to sup and to walk and to fellowship with you, Lord God. Father, as we, your brethren, your family, you're chosen, you're predestined. Stand here before you, Lord God, thanking you and praising you, Lord God, for your greatness, your goodness, kindness, your strength and power. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to have your way this night, Father. Father, we submit our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our will, our ambitions, our desires, Lord God, to you right now. Father, we know that this life is short, here just for a moment and gone. And Father, don't let this temporal life snare me. Don't let these fleshly things and desires that are within the hearts of men, Lord God, entrap me. Don't let the mind, Lord God, that is inspired through the fleshly ambitions of this world entangle me, Lord God. Father, let the mind of my wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be in me. Every man and every woman within the sound of this voice, let that mind be within them that they could perceive and receive the riches of your glory. Help us, Lord God. We come to you in weakness, Lord, drawing on your strength and power. Father, we have an expectation of you in Jesus' name. Y'all can be seated. Appreciate the youth and their endeavors and the music. All the participants on the platform with their music and their talents, to surrender them over to the Lord and let their abilities be utilized for the kingdom of God. I thank you for that. As a pastor with a vision and a mission, an obligation and a duty and a calling, I need all the help I can get in every aspect of life. I really do. I need help. I need people that are willing to sacrifice, press in, even when it hurts a little, to push and to press. Amen. If giving our life as a living sacrifice is just our reasonable service, then where do we start? Think about it, saints. Where do we really start? Where do we as a man sit back at any given time of this life with such a, you know, feeling so great about our own selves, about our accomplishments, our deeds? I know that the Lord does allow us as the sons of God to see accomplishments and exploits and that we could be well pleased with. I know my pastor, there would be great exploits that would be taking place and you would know that when he was well pleased and you could know when he was grieved likewise. You know, I mean, it was just the mind of the Lord. You know, we could talk about the finished work of Christ at Calvary, which in which he's well pleased in. But with the works of man in the flesh, he is not pleased with that and never will be. So we just surrender that man and let Christ live and dwell and reign. Amen. Y'all love the Lord tonight? Amen. God's been so gracious to you all and to me likewise. He's been gracious to us. You know, I think of the last couple messages that's gone forth, one being Sunday, there was a little bit of a message that went in there. Yes, there was. And then there was a strong exhortation in the close. And then Wednesday night, there was a very profound things that come forth, speaking about some dispensational things and bringing a somewhat of a close to something that would seem to be the most powerful work of God in the earth today. And speaking of a closing out, God's displeased with it. And somebody would say, well, I just don't see God doing that. Well, you better get in your Bible and go to his very own elect. More bloodshed for Israel. More lives lost and taken for that real estate, we may say. And we know what the Lord said. We know what he done to his own elect people. And his spirit pulled away from them. We find the handwriting on the wall. We find Ichabod put over the door. We find the Lord departing away. We even found times that he would allow his own, when we think of the Ark of the Covenant, to be taken away from the people. And you watch things, and then you see the pattern of America and what she's done and what it's ran. And I mean, it's phenomenal to see how perfect of a mirrored pattern that America has ran to the promised land, to Israel, to God's elect. It's run a perfect pattern, but then here it goes right around this same thing. We saw the pattern of the kings through the Old Testament. They would be taken and ordained into this kingship, anointed by prophets of God and things. And then they would be commanded to call on these prophets of God to keep the order of a nation and a people. And then they get so powerful they didn't need God no more. And when they bypass them, havoc would come. That's where America's at. We come to a place we have no need of God. Amen. You know, brethren, I'll say a couple things here, and I may read some scripture here. I'll just see how the Lord allows me to go here this evening. There's things that are hard to express, and people would believe and think, because they're so fleshly, so natural-minded, so carnal-minded, so earthly-minded, so worldly-minded, so passionate-minded, that when they see that all that things that I just expressed are the enemy of God. So then when we see despair and distraught and all these things, it's to move them out of that mind and out of that world. Now there's a way through obedience we can make some transitions. We can make some transitions through obedience into a spiritual world and walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit by obedience. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But that outer man is led by the flesh. The inward man is moved by the Spirit, has a different desire altogether. I'm continually preaching that we've got to take this inward quickening of the Spirit and manifest it in everything that we do, every way we look, everything that we do, walk, say, everything. And then yet I could turn around and say something that there is a polished way that would, do you think that that's what they were doing? But it isn't moved by the inward. Some of the brethren made comment, Brother Pete was speaking about something that I said from the sacred desk on Sunday, and I was talking about how the judgment on this world came forth from the inward, the water coming up out of the earth. Most people think of the rain, 40 days and that. And you know, and I just made a statement, and I said, well, I believe that there was more water that came from under the tables, from the inward part, than the outer part. And then I felt that it was questioned. Then the Spirit of the Lord spoke and made some statements. And the thing is the inward is always greater. This inward quickening is always greater. The latter rain, the inward rain, this inner thing. You know, to the first man, Adam, it was an outer, Shekinah glory on the outside. But the second man, Adam, was an inward. The rivers of life, the rivers of wanting. This is where all the strength and all the power comes within. People are looking at, oh man, God, man, bless me. It's all come from within now. If you're predestined in Christ, the Spirit is within. And you got to bring it forth, and it's got to consume, devour, extinguish, destroy the outer man. It's got to completely take it over. So, again, as we so oftentimes we're speaking about this inward and outward and this, you know, one relative to one perspective and another relative to another, one dimension, we may say, one dispensation, we may say. There's a dispensation of man. It's timely. But there's the eternal kingdom of our Lord, our God, in the spiritual realm. There's things when we go to express and we see God moving. When Elijah was at the brook Carmel and was being cared for, a raven was bringing him meat, and all of the rest of the people were in a famine. People were starving. People were dying. It hasn't rained, but the Lord used a greedy bird to supply a prophet of God. But you know, there was a time that the Lord moved him from Carmel. He moved him to the widow's house. And the thing is that when he moved there, if he would have said, oh no, that's where I'm staying, this is where my provision is. How many people do that? They say, man, this is where it's at. But what about when God dries it up and done? It's time to move. It's time to follow. It's time to go. And so many people, brethren, are guilty of stopping You know, no matter how wonderful it was, no matter how great it was, no matter how much you reflect on it and speak about it and talk about it, you know, we've got to continue on and move. I was talking with a gentleman that was a very wealthy, wealthy man. We became really good friends. I mean, if you ask him, say, hey, look, man, I need to borrow $200,000, the guy would show up with it in a suitcase. Ask you no questions. And he was a decent man. He was an honest businessman. I remember my dad asking for just about that much money. Showed up with a Samsonite suitcase. Here you go, Howard. You think, man, I like a friend like that. You know, he was a businessman. He knew my dad. He trusted my dad. He would take care of him. But he said something to me. He goes, you know, people always talk about the good old days. He goes, come on, let me tell you about what the good old days were. He started talking about automobiles. The guy owned a very, very expensive wheel company. They made all the wheels, went on just almost all the Rolls Royces. He told me, he goes, you want to talk about the good old days? And he looked at a car, and this was in the 70s, I think, maybe right in the latter 70s. And he said, you know what? We didn't have disc brakes. We didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have heat. And some of these cars, you know, and he's going back, you know, and he was an elderly brother at the time. And he started talking about all of the technology of things. He goes, man, these cars are so much better now. And he said, what are they talking about the good old days? And I know in the spiritual aspects and thoughts, you know, we say, oh man, it was such a great time. So let's back up, as we mentioned on Wednesday night. We'll back up to Brother Branson. Man, that was really an awesome time, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. It was so good. You know, man, I mean, Brother Rob, they were bringing people out in the hospital beds. You know, and he would go to preaching and working in the gifts, and people would start getting out of the hospital beds, and people would get out of wheelchairs, and blind eyes would come open. And, you know, and I mean, that was such an awesome time. I wouldn't trade this moment for that for nothing. I'm telling you that. But see, people would question that and say, man, Brother Rob, you just don't know what you're talking about. But I'm telling you, brethren, like I said, a man could be raised out of a hospital bed and die and go to hell. A man could get his blind eyes opened and he could see this natural world. It's all vanity and all lie, and go to hell. Opening his eyes might have been the worst thing he ever done for him, when he starts lusting after the things of the world and the cares of the world. And he could have been in a place with God, and you, through your greatness, and opened up his eyes, and now that he'll just go off. You might take a lame man and now he's in a dance hall. Boy, I really like these new legs, man. This is great. And he loses soul. And you think you've done something great. I know that the people were moved, and hundreds of peoples and thousands of peoples would come out to these meetings. They would come out because they seen the power of God moving. I'm not against those things, but we've seen miracles and things here. I'm thankful for those things. Don't misunderstand me. But there's greater things. Greater things, brethren. So much greater things. And let me tell you something, what's an enemy of God is your physical health. When you're healthy and you're in good shape, and when you got money and you've riches, you become the enemy of God because you got no need for him. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. You said the rich answereth haughtily. Then in our Christianity day, we're talking about a prosperity message. We want everybody to be wealthy. You know what? God is going to strike you down to get you where he wants you at. And you could willingly walk into it by obedience. But the Pentecostalism over the last few years, with their wealthy messages and their riches and their prosperity message and their Kenneth Copelands and all these guys, they brought in this message, and people are walking in the vanity of carnality and wealth, and they go to the churches for they can feel good about themselves, and they got these men that are worse than Catholic priests up there laying hands on them and telling them, oh, God loves you, amen, just keep the finances coming in, brother. You know, I'm again exposing what's real, brother, and what's happening in the ministry. But there's so many of them, brethren. I'm a small voice crying out in a wilderness. There's so many of them, thousands of them, and maybe just a handful of us. Thousands of them. And they all see eye to eye. They don't pierce each other, nor do they break ranks. And it's an uncertain sound. And they're saying, well, that's right. You can't be right, preacher. You can't be right. And all of them be wrong. How about the multitudes that screamed out, give us Barabbas? The multitudes screamed out. They cursed him. And that's what they do with the word today. People don't want to hear the gospel today, brethren. There's a famine for the hearing of the word. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the real gospel. They don't want to hear about suffering. They don't want to hear about affliction. When we should be rejoicing in the day of persecution. But where's the persecution at? Nobody's kicking against the devil. The churches are all just saying, oh yeah, man, God wants you to, you know, have all these worldly pleasures. He wants you to have all this, you know, and wants you to be partakers of all this. And they esteem, they condone, and they push for it. You say, well, you live right, live pretty nice. I say, yeah, I'm busy trying to help others live that way. Continually. And he'll raise you up. Where's the uncertain sound in that? The uncertain sound, I've brought it out so many times. The Bible said that the wealth of this unjust generation and this unjust is going to testify against them on the day of judgment. What do you do with your homes? What do you do with your possessions? What do you do with your provisions? I think if somebody would look under the eye of critique that I'm continually sharing mine and making it available, giving it away. My wife said, look, next time you give one of my cars away, could you at least take my toolbox out of it? I let them have that too. Give them many away since then also. You see, there's a carnal mind that will always say, well, preacher, you know, what about this and what about that? But there's still a mind of revelation, a mind of Christ. There is still a way that is pleasing unto God. And we have to start learning, what is the mind of revelation today? What is the mind of God today? What is taking place today? You see, in the scriptures it said, when all things have become perfect, I could take and read it to you over there in 1 Corinthians, I believe around the 13th chapter. I believe it's there. It might be in the 12th. I don't know, but it said, when all these things become perfect, their tongues will cease. Now see, the Baptists were saying that for many years. Well, you know, Jesus came, he was the one perfect. That's why we don't have tongues no more. That's not the truth. So we knew that was an error. But the thing is that when you have an anointed preacher preaching under the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ, and you realize it's no longer him, so it's Christ, there's no need for a tongue or an interpretation. Now see, many of the churches for many years, they didn't feel like they went to church. I went to those churches for years, brethren. And you just didn't have a church service unless somebody started speaking in tongues and somebody gave an interpretation or somebody prophesied. They just didn't feel like God moved. But see, they were babies. It was okay. God had his way in that. The Bible said the tongue is for the unbeliever, brethren. That's who it's for. Now, the Bible does teach us about praying in the Holy Ghost to build up our innermost strength. There's times that there's something in my spirit and I can't quite, you know, it hasn't came to a connection to my understanding through a word of knowledge. And I might pray in the spirit for a moment. I might have hands on somebody praying because they might be requesting prayer. More so than not, people come in and request prayer, but the prayer that they're requesting isn't really the problem. There's another deeper rooted problem that caused that problem, and that's just what they see on the surface. And they think that's what it is. But it's many times much deeper than that. Alcoholism is a much deeper rooted problem than just drinking. There's something in there that's causing the man to go to the bottle trying to hide something. Hide something, get something out of their mind, if they try to get a little peace from that thing. But it comes through deliverance by being in the Spirit of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, and taking authority and conquering over those thoughts that are tormenting and trying to get you to find that little bit of rest in alcohol, that little bit of quench that thing back. Let me tell you, when you're in pain, they can give you a little bit of morphine. It's going to take that edge off of it, and you're going to like it. I'm sorry. You're going to say, boy, I like this stuff. You understand that? Well, this is why there's many alcoholics, because it quenches the torments of the tormenting demon spirits that are going to be agonizing in their spirit, and because they're giving them an introduction of what hell is. You understand? There's people that live on this earth that are partakers of hell now. They're partakers, their spirits are just forever stirring and just turned over to tormentors. They have no peace, they have no rest, and they're just a mess. Terrible. So we bring into the aspect of thought that we teach that some are already living forever. They've passed from death unto life. They can't die. They're dwelling in heavenly places. They're already partakers of heaven. Well, you know, but I'm looking at it. I can't say, don't understand that. And you say, this other one's twice dead. There's no hope for him. He's on his way to hell, predestined to eternal damn. Oh, there's hope as long as he's got breath. You see the uncertain sounds of those things that I just said. But this is religion. That's what religion teaches, what they speak about. So, what was the purpose of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What was the purpose of him walking among men? Why did he come and walk among men? You say, well, his purpose was to come down and lay down his life that we could have life more abundantly. Well, I can't contest that, and I agree with that 100%. Okay, but what life was he looking for? Now, see, like I made a statement in the history channels and some of these things through reports, that they have these programs coming on, these religious programs, and you know, about the book of Judas, the lost book, and the lost book of Mary Magdalene. You know, they got all these books. And let me tell you, and you that are listening online, you that think that you're getting some gospel history that was hid from you by listening to that filth and perversion, I don't know how to express how ignorant you are. I can't find the proper word of expression in the English vocabulary to say how stupid and ignorant and foolish you are. Now, I hope that hurt a little bit. I've shared this before, and I heard this on a Christian radio station probably in the 70s. I don't remember, but it was some kind of movie came out. I don't remember the name of it, one way back then. Some supposed to be Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't know what it was, but it was something about, and there was a preacher on the radio saying, don't go out and see that. It's messed up. It ain't right. Thus, us, and us. And they were telling him not to do it. Well, there was a talk radio show, and this individual called in and said, well, you know, I wanted to go see if I could learn about, you know, the Bible and learn about Jesus. And this is what the guy said. What's the term they use for somebody that studies the life of animals? There's a name for that. Zoology, I don't know. I don't know if that was the word he used, but he said, if you were studying that, he goes, you think your college professor would send you over to watch Bugs Bunny to find out how rabbits are? Come on now. That's making a point, ain't it? I want to study, and I want to learn about rabbits. I want to learn everything about rabbits. Okay, well, go watch Bugs Bunny. That's what you do when you go watch the History Channel to learn about the Bible and to learn about the history of my Bible. And things. You think you're going to take some Hollywood carnal-minded reprobate pig and they're going to take and they're going to educate the people of America about the gospel? They're going to defy everything. They're going to turn Jesus into a pervert because they're perverts. That's what they're going to do. They're going to take the Word of God and they're going to get some kind of wedge in there for that you could doubt the Scriptures, doubt the Word. And they got people that are going all this natural stuff and they're saying, well, you know, this is really what took place when the sea parted. You know, there was a big wind that come up and blew. You know, the water was only 18 inches right out there by this shelf. And the wind blew strong. And that wind blew back and it parted that and allowed them. Well, you know, it's pretty good timing of my Lord, if that's what happened, to move that wind back there to get those people across and to swallow up those Egyptians when they started to come across pursuing to kill them, huh? So, you know, well, I don't care what they say, but they're always trying to take the supernatural out. They're always wanting to bring it to some carnal-minded reasoning. You say, well, Brother Rob, you know, I don't watch that stuff. You don't know who you're sitting with, okay? And you don't know who's listening. I minister the Word of God by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And I know the failures of the church world. I know the failures of Christianity. What's the professing Christianity? There ain't never been one Christian ever fail, never fallen away. There's never been one to backslide. There's never been one to die. But I use the term because they use that term. Christians do not die and they do not backslide. It is impossible for that to happen. So when I'm saying Christianity, I'm talking about this religious order that the people are saying, I'm a Christian. You know, the Catholics, you know, well, mostly they say I'm Catholic, but they even are considered as a Christian. Come on now. And I think I got more respect for them than I do some of these Pentecostals. You say, that man's speaking pretty low, Brother Rob. That's because I have a great expectation. I'm going to give you an example of what I just said. I could take, and I have an expectation of Brother Frady. Now, if he goes and does something that some new individual that just got here doesn't know or understand the revelational doctrine, or I could even use Brother Jonathan, I got a much greater expectation of Brother Jonathan Lambert than I would if some new guy just walked in the door. I don't care if he calls himself a preacher. Now, Jonathan could do something, and that man do the same thing, and I'd be more agreed with Brother Jonathan, because I got a greater expectation of him. Is that wrong? Well, the Bible said, much given, much more required. Now, there's people that'll come through these doors that call themselves Trinitarians, call themselves oneness, call themselves holiness, call themselves, you know what? And yeah, I got an expectation when they put the name of a minister on themselves. You know, I say, okay, you chose that name. I have an expectation of them. You know why I do? Because my Bible does. It tells you what their qualifications are to be called an evangelist. It says what the qualifications are to be called a prophet. And the qualifications to be called a bishop. So I don't think I'm wrong to have some kind of an expectation. But then yet, because of the training and the History Channel and all this kind of stuff that's pumped in and infiltrated the theology of American Christians, oh, but you're just too strong. You need to back off just a little bit. You know, God's love. Man, I started hearing that in the 80s. I preached over in a church, and a guy said, Brother Rob, he goes, if you just ease up a little bit, your offerings would be better. I said, I've never taken an offering, brother, and I never wanted one, and I won't accept one. Amen. That was my reply. In my early years of observing of the ministry, and I got a pride thing on me. Man, I was dealing with all kinds of fleshly things, arrogance and pride and all kinds of things. But you know, one thing in my novice state for being called and saying that I'm going to have to be prepared for this, at least I had enough wisdom not to go. I had churches offered to me, not once, not twice, but numerous times I had opportunities and people pushing me. But I said, no, I'm not ready for this. Man, there's too many questions I got that are unsolved and unanswered. I had at least enough sense of that. But in the midst of all these things and watching all these things, I've made some analyzations. And I said, the majority of these ministers, it's all about money. It's all about finance. I'm not going to be part of that. Brother Pike had a problem with me after he sent me up here. These people are calling me, don't know what to do with their money. I'm doing what you asked me to do, Brother George. You said go up there and start a church. That's what I'm doing. You deal with the money. Tell them to send it to you. I got rebuked. I was told I was proud. Yeah. And then I was shrewd and deceitful for the first couple of years. I wouldn't use any of it. First two or three or four years here, I wouldn't even touch it. Every bit of it, I pumped it right back in. I worked, made a living, and every penny that came in this church, I put it right back in. And we started doing some wonderful exploits as a handful of people because every bit of money went back in. You got six people in church and you're on the radio. What are you saying? Are you a boasting preacher? What are you saying? Saying I was dealing with things, huh? I thank the brethren that they understand giving and understand what it means. Brother Pike said they need to learn how to support a pastor. That's part of what you got to teach them how to do. You're robbing them, he said. So I've got different understanding, yes. I know where I was in error, where my failures have been, yes. Have you ever learned yours? But I'm speaking, brethren. The people would take, the mass majority of the people would hear me and say, well, you're just coming against the church, brother. That's the last thing I would do. I'm trying to encourage the church. I'm trying to encourage the people of God, the saints of God, the Christians. But there's an entanglement and a snare. And when you see so many people that you love and care about entangled and entrapped and fallen, deceived, I can go on. Then you feel like, well, okay, we're going to have to expose. We're going to have to see what is taking place and what is happening. So if we go down and we look at, again, as dispensations, and it has to do with the timely aspect of humanity, of this temporal realm, there's dispensations of things going on. And God moved in these ways, even through these seven churches in these church ages. I'm sorry to inform you, but some of the church age messengers were Catholic priests. And God was using them in a mighty powerful way. Come on now. Preserving the word, coming all the way down through time. But then yet as he progressed on, how many of those priests, when Martin Luther protested, a church age messenger of these seven churches, and he protests against the biggest, largest church organization of that day and hour. And stayed that way for many, many centuries. I think it's still probably one of the largest. They were pursuing to kill him. Now, let me ask you a question. Could anybody contest that that wasn't a dispensational change somewhat? A timely thing. That church age came up that time and then there was a change. Bringing in a move of faith. He brought in a move of faith through a Catholic priest. Still preaching Trinitarian doctrine. But he was a great, powerful man of God bringing in things. So see, I can't go back to Martin Luther and just preach everything he did because God has progressed on, hasn't he? Has God progressed on, saints of God? Come on now. I wouldn't be worthy to stand in Martin Luther's presence. This was a man that put his life, his family, and everything on the table, brethren. And I'm small, but I couldn't go back to his doctrine and his mind and his doings because God has brought a light, revelation, understanding to all of us. And we got to go on. And you see, there's still, and we have friends that never even met the great man of God, Brother Branham. And we have friends that hate us, despise us, because we won't worship this man and the doctrine that he brought. And we are in agreement with the doctrine that he brought in the biggest part, the largest part. There was some things that he didn't get to finish or teach out that the people mostly took it into error. Brother Branham never told anybody to baptize in his name. He went off the field for that. But you see, he was a great man of God. Nobody could contest that. A great, powerful man of God. Brother Pike comes along. There was a dispensational change from Brother Branham to Brother George Pike. There was a changeover. I'm sorry. It was some of the things I've been telling about. And Brother George was transitioning. He came through those things. I had to ask a question today. What's a flapper? Brother Chuck sends it up to me. You see, that was terminology in the 20s. Brother William Branham was still using that terminology. Man, it's a perfect terminology. We need to bring it back. We got a women full of flappers out here in America. Bunch of flappers. I thought it was probably had to do something with that old tongue flapping, but yeah, I know a flapper. But you see, brethren, here's what I'm saying. So now there's been a progression. When does that stop? When do we say it stopped? Why do we say it stopped? There's a progression. Who is going to see the coming of the Lord? Who is going to see the coming of the Lord? Come on now. I'm asking you. Brother Pike asked his brethren in his day, over 20 some years ago, 23, 4, 5 years ago, brethren, do you really believe you're God's? And he goes, come on, brethren, do you really believe it? Oh, yeah, Brother George, you've been teaching that. I got all respect for you, Brother George. I love you, Brother George. I know that you wouldn't preach us wrong. We see the anointing of God in you, Brother George. We love you, Brother George. Man, you're our pastor. You know, we know this and that. Oh, sure, we believe that. And he goes, come on, brethren. You don't really believe that. You see, he was looking a little deeper, wasn't he? How many things do we really think that we believe, but then yet the old saying about the rubber meeting the road? Come on now. What's what, you know, the old saying, you know, do we really believe? You know, we consider ourselves the offspring of this revelational doctrine, okay? Let's just say that for expression's sake. And we got Christians over in other countries that are literally being killed, beheaded, tortured. How many of us tonight, if some Muslims come busting through the door, machine gun the door down and come busting in, they put a barrel of a gun down in your face and say, denounce your Lord Jesus and praise Allah, or I'm going to blow your brains out. Come on now. You say, I think I could do that. The only way you could do that is by being full of the Holy Ghost. Because otherwise you could do just like Peter. Oh, Peter said, oh, Lord God, we won't let anything like that happen to you. I'll die for you. He said, man, you'll deny me before the cock crows thrice. And he did. But you see, was Peter real? Sure he was. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. I really believe that. But you see what happened when he got filled with the Holy Ghost? He stood before the same people that took Jesus to the cross. He stood before those very people. And he said, that Jesus in whom you crucified, I stand here this day. When the testimony of the man at the gate called beautiful. You see, there's a difference when a man gets filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother Pike had a church, 400, 500, 600 people. I don't know. He said, I can count you on one hand that got the Holy Ghost. I went and asked him who the other four were. You're an arrogant rascal, aren't you, Brother Rob? I was like kind of kidding with him. But he said, that's the way you're supposed to think, my friend, my brother. I really did that. I had a smile on my face. Hey, could you tell me who the other four are? I still need prayer. I can still see him shaking his head when he sees me coming. Y'all love the Lord. So what are we talking about here tonight? What are you saying, preacher? Well, what do you have your eyes on? What is the pattern for you? What is the mark for you? I made a statement about the churches. Every church has a thrust. Some of the Pentecostals, boy, when I hear them speaking in tongues, okay, they're one of us now. They accept you. Church of Christ, you get baptized, why? They accept you. All these churches have this little thing where you're one of us now. Every one of them. They all, you know, I'd probably ponder on my mind and thoughts and tell you some other things, but it's many, many times. But what is your thoughts to make you say, this is the Son of God? This man is walking in the Spirit, or this man is really right, this man is true. So, I'll tell you how most of us are, okay, that have been indoctrinated in Pentecostalism, we might say. Most of us take the gifts of God. Now, I've taught on this for years, but the majority of the Pentecostals take the gift of God as a vindication of a man having the Holy Ghost, because it's the Spirit of God, it's the gifts of God, and that's what they normally do. But I'll tell you what, I was deceived by men working in the gifts long before I ever came to the revelation message. So when I come to the message and got a revelation of an understanding of why those things were happening, it was very easy for me to see. I shared this with you here, a man that left the work, goes off into another country and said, man, I found this is where the move of God is. It's left America, thus, and he got in a charismatic world. Brother Pete knows the charismatic world. He was in it before he met Brother Pike. There was many youth and young people that raised up there, had no idea what was going on in the churches outside of that place. Had zero idea. Zero. They had no idea what was going on in the churches. They didn't know about the power of God and about the slaying in the Spirit and about the things where the real genuine, the power would come so strong. They didn't know about that. They thought that the only place it was there. But there was a counterfeit. And I've been partakers of that. I saw that and my heart was rent and broken and torn to pieces. Because I thought the same thing that the average churchgoer thinks today. Oh, surely this is a man of God. Surely this guy's anointed of God. This guy could preach, he could teach, he could move. Man, he lays hands on people and you could feel the power of God. I tell you, I've watched it over and over and over again. So what are you? And now I'm making a presentation of deception, of people following after the signs, following after the wonders. My Bible said the signs and wonders shall follow them. But there's people that follow after them. How many ministers or Christians or people that you know that are running all over the country chasing after? Man, I heard there's a great move in Florida, man. And I looked into that move down there in Florida. It was the most filthy, perverted, and more filth and disgusting thing. Oh, but there were people being healed, Brother Rob. Man, there were people being set free and people this and that. And there were more people being perverted. I'm telling you, there was more filthy perversions going on. I've been rebuked by so many preachers since I've been here pastoring this church. I've been rebuked and rebuked and rebuked and rebuked continually. And I look at him, I think, all I'm doing is staying with the Word of God. Brother Dale here, my brother. I love Brother Dale. He would never contest that. Nobody could contest that. I've known him longer than most in here. He's known me longer than most in here. I put him out of this church. I told him, I said, I don't want you even looking at me. I said, I'm pouring my heart out and you're lightly esteeming and mocking the things of God. I said, just leave. He left. But what he did is he got the problem fixed. The reason he left. But you know, if I would have compromised, said, oh, it's okay, man. I understand that, brother. Then he'd still be in sin. But because I'd done what the Bible said, but you know, I got rebuked by preachers for that. Not once, not twice. I got rebuked for that. Who do you think you are? One said to me, the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm hoping it's the Holy Ghost that's doing all things through me. And if I'm supposed to be yielded to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is supposed to be wrong, I hope they have troubles to tell the difference between the Holy Ghost and Brother Rob. I'm hoping so. Because I'm moved by the Spirit of God. And I've been questioned on many things that I've had to do by the leading of God and following the Lord, but they're fleshly. Oh, well, you don't want to hurt nobody. I said, man, you need to restore with your daughter, because if she dies, she wants to know you love her. This is what I'm doing to show how much I love. Being rebuked by a Pentecostal preacher. Many that sat under Brother Pike rebuked me for the same thing. I'm following the leading of the Lord, brethren. And I'm not carnal. You know, I'm carnal, just as carnal as you are in my first birth, in my mind and my thoughts. But when I'm doing these kind of things, I'm showing dominion over my carnal mind. My carnal mind's a daddy just like you're a daddy. My carnal mind says, this is my child. I watched my wife give birth to her, you know, and I raised her up and I loved her and I held her and don't know saints. But I'm showing you that I'm not going to subject myself to my carnal mind, that I'm going to follow God's way and I'm going to do what God says. If she goes to hell, it ain't going to be because of her father's weakness of the flesh, because I'm going to make a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's just some fruit right there to see that a man may be coming out of carnality. How many Christian people make the compromises for their perverted sons and their perverted daughters? How many people do that, brethren? And then they come and defile in your camp and defile in your home, defiling you. I could talk about a minister that was under Brother Pike and got close to Brother Pike, and Brother Pike loved him. And the man got into revelation and things. His son turned into a filthy, perverted dope addict. And he compromised for him to the point of taking one of our brother's daughter over to shack up with his whoremongin' son. Huh? Now, come on, that was one of our ministers. One of the ministers took another brother's daughter and takes him over to shack up with a reprobate. And then wonders why the man goes through the fire and all the things, and why you can't find the anointing of the Holy Ghost moving in his life, when the church that the brother built, called Little Bethlehem, needed an elder that could say, wait a minute, we know what we believe, we know what we've been taught, we know what's standing, was gone. Why? Because he savored the things that would be of the flesh. That's why. And you say, brother, you're rebuking a powerful man of God. I'm telling you the deception of the devil. I'm telling you what the devil does to powerful people. When they compromise and they bring judgments and wrath of God down on their own heads. Why are we talking about Brother Rob here tonight? We haven't read no script. What are you saying here tonight? I'm saying, brethren, there are some things that we could have this doctrine and we could be so out of whack in our spirit. We can have the right things to say, but we're walking far from where we should be walking at because we have yielded to our will, to our desire, to our wants, to our families. Well, you know, I don't think to be a Christian, we got to hate our families. I didn't say that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. If you love your family more than you ain't even worthy of him. And he did say that we had to hate them. Now that I think about it, do you realize that? And sometimes, Brother Jonathan Lambert told me this himself many years ago. He said, man, I used to go around daddy and preach at me and preach at me and preach at me and this and that. And one day he stopped and scared me. You know, when you feel the wooing of the Holy Ghost, and you feel the drawing, the convicting power of God. But boy, when that quits, you better get scared. You better do that real quick. All right, we're going to read a little bit in the Bible here. Is that okay? We can close, go home now. Who wants to read and who wants to go home? I got the word in me, moving in me, tugging on my spirit. I feel wonderfully well, man. Well, I wish you'd make us feel good. That's what this is all about. You get out of your carnal conception of religion and get in the divine spirit of the living God, walking with him, and you could see him moving in your midst and doing things for you. You could see him working out these things for you. You say, well, why ain't he working it out for you? Oh, man, he's been working some wonderful things out for me. Awesome things. Go to Romans, the 7th chapter for a minute. Maybe we'll just start there at the first verse. Is that okay? Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she be loosed from the law of her husband. There's a lot of revelation in that right there, but let's keep going a minute. People, again, are so dimensionally minded, they look at this thing as being this wife, you know, and this husband died, he's no longer under the law of having him as her husband because he's dead. So she's free. She could remarry. That's where people normally would stop at that. But I've been married under the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it was somebody else that died. Amen. And I came and be married unto him. Amen. But let's go on here. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if the husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Where was this thing laying at, brethren? But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do not allow for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then, probably most of you can probably get closer to the Apostle Paul right here in this chapter, but that's sad to say, but I could help us, Lord. So many times we read this as weakness, and it's really not. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. That is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I've seen this thing taken so out of context in so many ways, both on both sides. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. A lot of differentiation right there going through this whole chapter. Let's keep going. I find that a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let's don't stop there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. A lot of times we stop right there at the comma. But it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, can a man walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, after what we just read about the great Apostle Paul? Yes. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now you got to take this man that's writing this, was a man that had failed God grossly. He pursued the church. Come on now, you think about it. He pursued the church to put Christians to death. You know the stories. You know the things. So here we go over and we could take this sixth chapter and, oh yes, we all have our men. We all have another mind warring within our members. Yes, that's all factual to we sons of God. But sometimes stop there and take those things as giving us some kind of sympathy for our fleshly wants, our fleshly desires, our fleshly ambitions. And like, well, the great Apostle Paul, you know, he wore like this, so, you know, it's okay for me. And then submit to it. No, he didn't submit to it. He was struggling. How many of you war with the members of your mind and you have a desire to serve God and follow the Lord, but then your fleshly mind gets in the way and says, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't afford that. Oh, you know, come on now. Is that reality to Christian walk? I mean, come on, brethren. I mean, is just Pastor Rob fell in here? You know, come on, I know that there's another law within the members of my man, my outer man, my flesh, warring against the laws of this inner man he's talking about. And this inner man's saying, hey, we could do all things through Christ. Come on, let's go on and do it. Man, we could win souls. We could see an increase in the kingdom. And that outer man's saying, oh my God, man, you're broke, dude. Shut up, dude. What's the truth? Ask your wife. Yeah, you're broke. Shut up, wife. Is this real? Come on now. So where do we stop? Which one of these laws am I going to submit to? Which one of these am I going to subject myself to? Which one am I going to meditate on? How much of the mind that tells you that you can't, you won't, hinders you and stops you from progressing on in the kingdom of God and doing more for Christ? How many of you? We've got to be honest here. Oh, but I'm a son of God, praise God. Well, you've limited an unlimited God. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Sometimes we want to stop right there. For the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come on now, the righteousness of the law. We go back and look at the law, it's righteous, brethren. It was for the lawbreakers. It's a righteous thing. Hey, don't covet. You know, men covet today, man, and they lose out with God. They're coveting everything. Everything. iPhones, iPads. Hey, John, love you, bro. Man, you're a good brother, man. I appreciate you. Yeah, no. No, come on now. I'm just funning with the brother, but come on now. What about content? Do we find in the Holy Ghost that we can be content? But then yet, in the flesh, it's never content, brethren. It never has enough. I don't care what it is. You start messing with drugs, there's never enough. It'll get a hold of you, and there's never enough drugs. It don't matter what it is. You start even playing with that thing. That's why I don't, you know, people think, man, Brother Rob just too strict, man, and he's, you know, tells us stay away from this, stay away. Because that's not the thing that's the problem, but it's the mind that took you to that thing, and it's going to get clutches in you. It's going to get some claws in you, and then one day you're not going to be able to let it go. I know these things. Things that you esteem, well, there's really nothing wrong with this, it's okay. But it's the carnal mind that's death. It's not the carnal thing. It's the carnal mind of you desiring that thing. And that desire that drove you to that thing, don't stop. It's going to keep desiring more, and it's going to keep desiring more, and it's going to keep desiring more. It could get into business, and we could get our businesses where we don't own them, they own us. And then we took something that we could be utilizing for the glory of God, and it causes us to miss God and fail God. I got a brother I talked to tonight. He said he wanted to be here Wednesday night. He wanted to be here tonight. He said, I'm going to start looking for another job, Brother Ron. You know, Brother Ed mentioned him. He said, you know, he said he got a touch from the Lord Sunday, watching on the internet. He said he got touched. He said, man, I wanted to be in church. Can't. Well, you know, man's got to work, Brother Rob. Hey, I understand that. I mean, I understand it perfectly well. I do. I've been a contractor, a working man. There's going to be times that you'll reproach your name and the name of the Lord by not being on a job. And it might be a church night. You say, well, I'm spiritual. I don't care. I'm going to be on. No, you might really causing a real problem. Because you told a man you'd have his job done by Thursday morning for another crew coming in, and you didn't get it done. Now, if this is an habitual practice with you, that you miss in church all the time because your ignorance, because of your stupidity, you don't know how to count your time, and you're making promises that you can't fulfill, then you're the ignorant one. You need to consider the house of God first. But I'm doing this, that sometimes things happen that are outside of sometimes of other things. If you're having to miss church because of the ignorance of your builder all the time, then you need to start being a better manager. I do know that brethren will miss church. I'm not ignorant to that fact. But what I'm saying, when it's an habitual practice, they got a problem. Brother Pike, and we had ministers, he expect them to be in the church. If they wasn't in the church, man, you'd be hearing from it. He said, you should be the examples. You need to be there. Amen? Okay, that was just a little side note. Y'all love the Lord? Some of you are very faithful in the house of God, and I appreciate you. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So are we going to fulfill the righteousness of the law by walking in the Spirit? I'm just asking you. That's what it says here. Do you believe that? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, here he's speaking about this law in the previous chapter. And then we find a great testimony that Jesus came and fulfilled that. Okay, now, so Jesus fulfilled it. So that means we don't have to? What are we reading here? Does that mean that we don't have to? Well, Jesus laid it up, done away with, and it's done away with. I say, yay and amen. Praise God. And we could talk about this inward spirit man that isn't under that law that has been made in by the works of Christ at Calvary. But now we're talking about the redemption to the man, to the flesh part. That part that's corruptible, it's got to be redeemed. If it's going to make the resurrection, why did Jesus come and learn obedience by the things that he suffered? He redeemed it. Did he not? He redeemed it. So then you say, well, he redeemed me too. But then where does this other role come in at then? Brother Rob preaches works. Praise God, I do, and I'm going to continue on. Well, I'm not saved by works, Brother Rob, bless God. I'm saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. And I said, well, show me your faith. The man that wrote this right here, we know it's God breathed by the inspiration of God. But he said, I'm looking for fruit met under repentance. We read in the Bible, said, show me your faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. So now if you got so much faith unto salvation that you're going to call me self-righteous, you're going to call me a Pharisee, and you're going to say that I'm preaching works, then I'm just going to ask you, how are you going to show me your faith? Come on, Mr. Man of Faith. How are you going to show me your faith? By walking in the Spirit. And how do you walk in the Spirit? By conquering the things that would be of the flesh and not serving the law of the flesh, but serving after the law of God. So how do we do that? By walking in the Spirit. How do we get the other man, the other mind out of the way? Through works, by mortifying the deeds of that man, by killing him out, by desiring the things from above. There's works, there's labors. Oh, but Jesus done it all for me. Well, then what's the need of a fivefold ministry? What's the need of the church? What's the need of the exhortations and all those things? You see, I'm sick of the lukewarm bunch of foolishness that came out of the Olsteins. He's just a product of a much deeper failure before him. He's just a product of it. And they're all walking after the same thing now. They're all eating of the same thing now. They're all partakers of it. They're all crying the same thing. That Pentecostal preacher come over here and want to prophesy and want to do this. I said, you ain't no different than a Catholic priest. Why'd you tell him that, Brother Rob? Because I got more respect for a Catholic priest than I did that Pentecostal preacher. You against the Pentecost, Brother Rob? Absolutely not. I was numbered with that error. Walked with them, fellowshipped with them. Saw the later end of that thing, but I saw the failure of it. I saw the failure of it. I saw the failure of that move, that error of that, the whole dispensation. I seen the whole failure of it. I didn't understand it when I sat under Brother Pike, but he saw the failure of it. He taught on it. He preached on it. He talked about the charismatic world. Where did the charismatic world birth at? Somebody tell me. In the Pentecostals. Can anybody deny that? Through the word of faith, through the fivefold ministry. That's where it birthed up at. He saw the calamity of it. Brother Branham even saw the calamity of the denominational churches. That was one of the, why the biggest, much of them hated him. But why haven't they get a hold of his message? Why didn't they get a hold of this other message? Why? Because they're blind. And they got blind leaders. That's why. You say, well, Brother Rob, you can't come against that. Well, I've been doing it. With all my heart. You say, well, you're wrong. Well, then you tell me what's right. Why is there such a change? If this Pentecostal message is what's right, then tell me why it's changed in the last... I've watched it change since my conversion. Drastic changes. Drastic changes. Okay, so what about we go back to the church that was in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s when they had flappers, pedal pushers, huh? Come on now, brethren. Let me go on here. I want to read just a little more. Y'all are awful quiet tonight. I hope that you are numbering yourself as sons of God. You should hear this message as a son of God. You, if you're numbering yourself as a Pentecostal, man, you got no Bible for that. There was a day of Pentecost. Okay, praise God for that. But you're numbering yourself with something that has been moved by humanity and man. Yeah, I'm a Baptist. Oh, well, you know, hey, they baptized. Well, you go ahead and die as a Baptist. Well, I'm a Methodist. We got methods of worship. And I said, well, you go to hell as a Methodist. Come on now. Well, I'm a Pentecostal. Okay, whoopee. Come on, that's what it is, brethren. Yeah, well, I'm Catholic. Well, I am too. I believe in universal church. That's what Catholic means. Okay? Catholicism, a universal work. There really was a universal work, but now it's been scattered around and so much tore up in things. I baptized, but I'm not numbering myself with the Baptist religion. Okay, I believe in what took place in the power of God on the day of Pentecost. So you say, well, you're Pentecostal then. But I'm saying I'm separating myself from the failures of that move. Do you realize that? I have to separate myself. We started out talking about Martin Luther. We started about another time of dispensation coming in of a Protestant move. A very powerful, anointed man of God. Well, you believe he was full of the Holy Ghost, Brother Rob? There's no doubt about it. He was moved by the Spirit of God, put his life in harm's way. And he brought a message in that changed the course of the religious move of Christianity, maybe we could say. But I can't go back and teach what he was teaching. I'd be in gross error. And I watch when you try to speak by the Spirit of God to ministers today that they are boundaries in their denominationalism, in their Pentecostalisms, in their onenessism, in their threenessism, or whatever. They're all bound into these things, and they won't step outside the barriers of those. They've limited God, and they say, well, this is what I believe. I don't care what you believe, sir. Shut up and listen to the Spirit of God speaking to your hard head and get your eyes opened up and start letting the Spirit of God speak to you. You've limited God. How many people are in that order, brethren? What, do you think you're better than them? No, I'm accountable. By the grace of God, I submitted myself to the reproof. I resubmitted myself to be rebuked. I submitted myself to say, God, I need help. I didn't approach Brother Pike when I came. Oh, man, let me tell you about how much I know. I said, man, I'm so burnt out on this church and on this church world. I'm seeking to do something for God. But every time I get hooked up to help somebody, I see this problem and that problem. And I was burnt out on it. What are you going to do? You're going to go back to being an aviator? I was sick of church. I was sick of the church world. I was sick of it all. Well, it sounded like you was in bad shape. Yes, I was. Thank God for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thank God for a man of God that brought the revelation of the Lord and exposed the darkness of religion. I can't stand it. I don't want to walk with them. I don't want to talk with them. I don't want to fellowship with them. I don't want to gild them up. I don't want to gird them up. I don't want to support them, because all they're doing is pulling them all into one big wretched slop hole pit, and they're all going to go to hell, and I'm not going to be part of it. I'm going to come out and be peculiar and be separate. They could mock me. They could laugh at me. They could call me self-righteous. They could do all that. I'm just going to keep on preaching to what I know, brethren. I'm sorry. Brethren, there's some wonderful ministers out there that are Spirit-filled and love God. There's some of them that are even ensnared somewhat in some of these things because that's all they know. God have mercy. That's all they know. They're true. They're genuine. You know, I was true and genuine when I met Brother Pike. But man, you want to talk about somebody in some doctrinal error? You know, but he loved me and worked with me and helped me. He was a man of God. He didn't just start telling me all my ignorances and all my errors when he met me. He started pretty quick, though. I mean, it didn't take him long. But, I mean, he started working those things, yes, immediately, day one. Some of the guys were there when I walked in the first day I met him. Somebody come in and hand him some mail, and he opened it up, and there's a letter in it. I could call the preacher's name. Guy in a pair of short pants. Boy, you talk about vexing a preacher real bad, real fast. Was he fired up, Pete? But you know what? I was the jerk that was in short pants probably about a week before I met Brother George. And I was a preacher. And he took that picture, a little picture about this big, and he swung that thing around and put it this close to my face. This guy calls himself a preacher. Can you look at this? He calls himself a preacher. That's nothing but an abomination in God. I'm like, I look over at my dad, shut your mouth, Dad. My dad don't wear shorts. Oh, yeah, he's like, amen, preacher. I'm going, oh, me, preacher. So, yeah, he started on me pretty quick. There was an anointing of God in that man. I would go, well, sir, you know, I wear shorts. I didn't say that. You know, I didn't get him, grab, wear them out good. I'm thinking, oh, God. He was upset. It upset him. He was vexed. He was grieved. The man wasn't too many years after that. Had a heart attack on his farm. Fell face first into cow dung. Right in his stall. And when they found him dead, his face right in a cow pie. And you say, oh, that's terrible, Brother Rob. It's terrible that a man that was a holiness preacher that walked with some of the greatest men of God that ever walked in this earth goes out. When I met the man, I went to his house in Kentucky, and when I pulled up there, I couldn't believe my eyes. He's in short pants and no shirt on, mowing his yard. But this guy, you know, I'm thinking this was supposed to be an associate preacher with one of the greatest men. And then you wonder why God would allow for a man to fall face first in dung, because that's what he done long before. He was dead long before. Twice dead. Reproached the kingdom of God. Reproached the ministry of God. You say, brother, you better be careful speaking. I'm just telling you what happened. Left his wife, went off with another woman. Do Holy Ghost-filled preachers do that, brother? Well, I know out here in the church world it's okay because God's this big God of mercy and love. Who, you know, you're just taking away the grace of God, Brother Rob. I read this little thing today. Pentecostal preacher, they raised him up over here in Kentucky. He goes off in adultery with some of the women in the church. You know what the organization done? Tell me what they should have done. Somebody tell me. They should have, yes, they should have removed him. Oh, gosh, that sounds too nice. I wish that we could cane him or bamboo him or something. But no, yes, okay. Yes, he should have been removed. Okay, I know I speak ignorant. Get over it. But you're the one that's ignorant. That's what makes me say stuff like that because of your little sympathy, appeasing heart. Oh, well, we just got to love him. Forgive me, you're a whore. That's why you said that. And you're a stinking reprobate. That's why they say that. Oh, you need to forgive him. You know, you need to love him. No, brother, I'm going to tell you something. They need to be exposed. And they need to be brought and exposed and say, this is not a man of God here. This is a reprobate that defied the name of my God and the power of my God. And he bowed down to Baal and to the prophets of Baal. And he bowed down to every unclean thing. And he's nothing but a minister of Satan. That's what you need to do. And you need to quit appeasing and saying, oh, forgive him. But this is what the church done. They removed him as a pastor in that church because of the problem he caused, and they sent him a couple hundred or a few hundred miles away in the same state and said, okay, we're going to put you in another church. So they move him down to another church. Oh, guess what happened in that church? The exact same thing. They should have slew him. You can't say that, Brother Rob. Well, he went and perverted more families. And went and defiled, supposed to be a man of God, went and defiled more homes. Maybe we need to bring this old law back. And when they're caught in the act, that they take them out and let the church stone them. Well, you without sin, let them cast. I'm without sin. Give me the stone. Come on. You say, you can't say that, Brother Rob. Ye that are born of God cannot sin. So you're going to take a stone? No, I didn't say that. But I'm just telling you, that's what I think would have been better than send them to another church. So now, in Kentucky, two churches defiled because of a filthy pervert. Calls himself a pastor. And the headquarters don't have enough sense to remove the reprobate. You know what they've done with him now? Well, we're going to get him out of Kentucky and we're going to send him down to Texas. And we're going to give him another chance. And guess what he done in Texas? Exactly the same thing. You know what I would do if I was involved with a headquarter work like that? I would run from it. I mean, even human reason has departed you people. Are you supposed to be oversight? You're supposed to be leaders? We're supposed to be building churches and have men standing over them holding some accountability and they take a pervert and send him right to another one? I wish that was a small problem. I wish that was a small problem. And he had a business down here in town, and some filthy whore was the pastor. A whore! You heard it right? I wish I could say it stronger. She was a whore. She was married to another man and a music minister in a church and ran off with another man. So then they get kicked out of that church. They go start another one. And you know what? Everybody that sits in that church under that kind of filth, they're all a bunch of perverts and whores too, because two can't walk together unless they agree. Now I'm talking about our Pentecostal move today, because they're not holding a standard anymore. It's okay to get divorced. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's all by the mercy of God. I'm sick of it, saints. You know why I'm sick of it? Because God's sick of it. And you know why God's sick of it? Because he's going to close it up. And he's going to shut it down. And you go ahead and keep what you call your mercy. You go ahead and keep your compassion. You go ahead and keep your compromise. You go ahead and keep on playing with them. You go ahead and keep on walking with them. You keep on and condoning what they live. When you fellowship them, you're condoning their lifestyle. When you eat with them, you're condoning their lifestyle. That's what you are, is just what they are. Oh, but we got mercy. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I got the grace of God. Oh, and I just love everybody. The only reason you love everybody, because you're filthy and you love the sin. You love the perversion. That's what your problem is. You say, well, Brother Rob, you're reaching out to whores, pedophiles, perverts. Amen. I am. But they ain't ministers. They ain't calling themselves Christians. But then they have some of them been converted. And I'm not going to know them after the flesh no longer. I'm going to know them after the conversion, but I'm going to look for fruit of the conversion. Amen. You understand that? If I bring a man into this church that was a pedophile and he's made a confession of faith towards God and he's trying to walk in the Spirit, I'm not going to treat him like one, but I'll be watching him. I'll promise you that. I'll be looking at him. And when I see that that flesh man ain't been mortified, I'll deal with him and I'll put him out. I don't have a problem doing that, but I'm going to give him every opportunity to bring fruit met under repentance of God. I'm going to give him every opportunity. I'm going to love him, and I'm not going to hold that past. I'm not going to hold that past against him. But I'll be watching. When I see that thing rising up, then I say, you ain't been converted yet. Oh, yes, it's a fight. Oh, yes, it's a travail. Oh, yes, it's a warfare. You know, you can say, man, when I got saved, I quit smoking. But you might have warred with it for a while. You didn't war with it to quit. You quit, but you still warred with the desire and the one. But you said, you know what? My God is greater than tobacco, and I'm putting that tobacco down. You might have been a drunk. You might have been an alcoholic. And you say, oh, you know, well, praise God. But you say, I can't do that no more. God ain't pleased with that, and you put it down. Amen. You might have warred with it, but you conquered that thing. And I saw the fruit met under repentance, because you were sober, and you stayed sober, and you stayed off of it. See, that's fruit, brethren. But when you say, I'm a Christian, and you keep on doing it, and you keep on smoking, you keep on snorting, and you keep on drinking, it's just to be made known that you were never filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God, and you're walking in the weakness of your flesh, and you will burn in hell. Come on now, that's sound preaching. Let's give the Lord a hand, amen. Come on, saints of God. I believe in the power of God. If I think it's going to have enough power to catch me out of this world, if I think it's going to be enough power to redeem my body and make it from mortal to immortal, I better believe it's got enough power to get off heroin, to get off cocaine, to get off alcohol, to get off tobacco, to get out of the lying, to get out of the cheating. Amen. That's what my God will do for you. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to, because somebody goes to church, say, oh, you're my brother. Because they go to church, you're my sister. No, they go to church, made them accountable, start walking in the Word of God. And they need to get out of these churches with a bunch of compromising preachers. Bunch of sissies is all they are. Say, what stirred you up today? Amen. It's the perversion of religion. That's what stirred me up. Amen. I've seen the message of the revelation taken so out of order and so out of context by people. They've taken out there in their filth and their immorality. Had one trying to prompt me here on my page not too many days back. Trying to prompt me to put some things down. There's little babies out there on Facebook. I'm not going to get into some depths of some doctrines and stuff. I'm hoping to glean a baby out of that slop hole out there. And he wants to keep pushing me and prompting me. If I wanted to do like him, I could have said, "Why?" I said, was you full of the Holy Ghost when you were sleeping with your two daughters, you filthy reprobate? That's what I could have said. But no, I don't have that in my spirit. No, I don't have that. It was in his spirit. It wasn't in my spirit. I just suffered the wrong and just didn't say nothing. And why he insulted me, I said nothing. I was silent. And why he projected himself greater and better, I could have said that. Hey, you filthy, stinking pervert. That's what I could have said. But see, that's flesh. What are you preaching up here? It sounds kind of like flesh to me. No, it's the fiery indignation of God that's sick of the flesh that has infiltrated the mind of the Christian people of America that are walking around in this Christian world and saying, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a sinner. And, you know, I sin every day. You know, and there's nobody perfect. You know, there's no one perfect. We're all just sinners saved by grace. When you hear that come out of mouth somebody, you need to look them in the eye and say, you know what? You're a reprobate, sir. You're a reprobate, sister. I've been born again. I've been had my sins put as far as the east is from the west. I'm filled now with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. I am clean and righteous and holy and godly and virtuous. I'm the apple of his eye. He saved me. Hallelujah. He set me apart. Hallelujah. He hid me away with him. He lays nothing to my charge, amen. I'm his elect, amen. I'm his predestined. He's filled me with his power, and I come out of the world. I'm not desiring the beggarly elements of this world. I don't desire the unclean things. I don't want to sit in a slop hole with the world and the pleasures of this world. I don't want to be in the sports. I don't want to be at the car races. I don't want to be around those kind of people. Why? Because I've been filled with the Spirit of God, amen. And I can't look into those things while I'm watching humanity go to hell, amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. And they mock me for preaching like this. And they laugh at me for preaching like this. Come on now. It's why? Because they got the love of the world in their heart. And they want to take and appease and compromise. But we better start standing for righteousness. Let me read on here just for a moment. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 5. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If people could understand these two worlds of minds, they would quit playing with the things of the world that they keep telling themselves is okay with God. See, the thing that they're doing is okay, but it's the mind that's making them do it that's going to put them in hell. But it's never enough. They won't be satisfied. There's no satisfaction to the flesh. You know what? Man, I was so hungry today. Oh my, I was hungry. I could talk about Brother Steve. I wanted a donut so bad. Come on, Brother Rob, stop at the donut house, man. You see how fat this brother is, Steve? I said, I'm not stopped. Come on, Brother Rob, you don't have to eat one. I'm going to go and get one. I'm that strong, brother, but I could drive by. I'm not going to sit and watch this dude eat donuts in my truck. Come on now, I know my limitations. I ain't got that much Holy Ghost. Oh, that was funny. No, I really do. I could fast and go off with the brethren and sit and watch him eat. It don't bother me when I make my mind up. But I just wanted to make him put his flesh under a little bit. Pastor's got to help him do that once in a while. Boy, they're sure good though, brother. I wanted somebody to fellowship with me in the mind of suffering just for a moment. Hey, man, I got to bring him right there with me. Amen. Let's go on for a minute here. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. This is why the Pentecostal churches have failed. Because they've polished the carnal mind. And it can't be spiritual. There's no way. They've taken and imitated the mind of Christ through the actions and the fruit of what the mind of Christ has brought forth through the ministers of past. And they've polished their thinking, their techniques, their preaching, their voices to mimic it. And the 99.9% of the people that profess Christianity can't discern the difference. That's a high percentage, Brother Rob. Yes, I think I met the mark there. I think it's about that way. Because they have learned to see what the anointing does. And then when they see some of these things happen, they can't discern it. And because the rain comes with it on the unjust. Because the women pastors are anointed. Because the women pastors could preach like a ball of fire. Because the women pastors seem to have this superior intelligence. It's got to be the anointing of God. And it's got to be accepted by God. And it's got to be okay. Come on now, how many's fallen in that ditch? Why are y'all so quiet in here? Come on, saints of God. Y'all been sitting under this kind of preaching before? Please. You know, it shouldn't be like, oh my. Man, I'm not having no part of that stuff. You know, I mean, people might come over on this slop hole wall that I've got, and they put some preacher on there. Oh, he said a beautiful thing. I agree 100% what he said. I agree with it 100% what he said. So I push like and all this, and I'll say, oh, Brother Rob likes that guy. So then they're over there reading this stuff, and they're getting perverted in the same stinking mind that the reprobate's in. Oh yeah, they say some wonderful things. They say some things that you can say yay and amen to. But they're perverted. They're walking in the flesh after the things that be of the flesh. Somebody say amen. Is anybody in agreement with what Brother Rob's preaching in here? If not, we're going to have a prayer meeting real quick. And you're going to get me prayed through. I'm going to get you prayed through. Somebody needs prayed through. Come on, saints. Amen. Let me go on here. I haven't got to the good part yet. See, I wish I would have stayed home tonight. And I said, I wish you would have too. Because your carnal mind is enmity against God and it's not subject to what Brother Rob is preaching up here. Neither indeed can it be. Okay, let's go to verse 8 now. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Boy, I wish somebody can convert them, convince them of that. But ye are not in the flesh. But ye are not in the flesh. Thank you for the word of encouragement here. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If, oh, why'd you have to do that? If so, why? If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We teach this doctrine that we get saved because we said a little confession with our mouth. And then we get the Holy Ghost later when we speak in tongues. Now, how many Pentecostals are teaching that? Oh, I got saved, you know, but I'm seeking after the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said you're none of His, so until you receive the Holy Ghost, you're none of His. Oh, you're apostolic, aren't you? Absolutely not. I just shared with you about a brother just saying, hey, I'm taking the apostolic name off my door. He's so disappointed with what's going on in the apostolic church, he's removing his name. I went to a Branham church. I shared this with you guys years ago. My wife was with me. Doris Tidwell was a gentleman that used to sing at Brother George's, and he had a son who used to come down there and sing some and this and that. They came here, and they was over going over to a Brother Branham church. He told me, he said, I'm going over to a message church. You're welcome to come if you'd like to come over. Well, I'd never been in one. So I thought to my wife and Kimberly, my daughter was still home, we thought we'd go. You know what they did? They done the pogo stick. I was there and witnessed it. There was a church probably about three times as many people as in here. And they did the pogo stick. You ever done the pogo stick in your church, Brother Bo? Do you know what the pogo stick is? Did you ever jump on a pogo stick when you was a kid? You never done this as a kid on a pogo stick when I'm down? The minister says, let's all do the pogo. I'm thinking, what in the world is the pogo? I mean, this all men are speaking in tongues and shouting and hollering and stuff. And the whole church was doing this, jumping up and down like this, just like this, except me and my wife and my daughter. You bunch of people don't got the Holy Ghost, do you? Boy, if you know, them people are carnal. They just don't have no liberty in the spirit. You know how many times I was told that when I was out in a charismatic church? I went to meetings and the whole church got out and they were all dancing. Husbands dancing with other guys' wives and dancing and doing it all in the name of the Lord, shouting. And they'd come get me by the hand. Come on, Brother Rob. And I say, no, thank you, sir. That's flesh. Oh, no, Brother Rob, that's in the spirit. No. There ain't no God of a holy God is going to have some man taking the hand of another man's wife and dancing, calling it in the spirit of God. That's an abomination to God. You understand that? When he said in his word, it's not profitable for a man to even touch the woman. So he's going to tell him to go out and dance with him. Absolutely not. I'm sick of the Pentecostals. I'm sick of their ways. Boy, Brother Rob, you're going to get yourself. You ain't going to have a friend one in the world. I don't want any Judases. I'm sorry. Brethren, I've observed this stuff. There were men of God that preached against this stuff, and they've gone on. They've departed. And this generation of preachers today are a bunch of lukewarm, sissified, pedophile perverts that won't preach against sin. And everything's to do with the flesh and the satisfaction of the flesh. And you say, well, I think there's some good ones out there. I praise God for them men of God out there that are decent and godly and holy. I appreciate that. But you know what? There's a lot of them that are compromising. And they're fitting right in. They know what they want. They know what the people want when they come out. They know what they want to hear when they come out. When Brother Paul first got here, Brother Paul's my brother and a dear brother and a friend. I love him. But he got on a Facebook page and he said, push like. He said, now this is my kind of preaching. Man, I like this. We need more of this. It was the most filthy, perverted, scummy filth that I ever seen take place under a tent called a gospel tent. It made me so sick. It was such an abomination in God. And I'm still not fellowshipping with a preacher over it. Because it was a stench in the nostrils of God. There was a young man up there pouring his heart out. But he'd been trained and taught by the other ones. And he was preaching the way they taught him to. And there was another one that was a greater man of God and more anointed. And he's out there laying hands on people. When the man just opened up his text and read those scriptures. And he starts preaching. That guy's out there praying. 2/3 of the congregation is turned around looking at that man. That's out of order. It's an abomination. And God would puke it out of his mouth. Paul was taught that way and trained that way. That's what he saw. That's why Brother Rob's called to preach people and get them out of that smut and out of that slop. You say, you better be careful, Brother Rob. That might be a man of God. If that guy behind that sacred desk was a man of God, he needs to get under a pastor or an apostle or something and get his hind end whipped and say, brother, it's out of order what was going on in that church. And you, when you took that sacred desk, you needed to keep order in the house of God. Some preacher come in this church and he gets up and starts laying hands on people and gets the attention of the people in here. You guarantee I'm going to be off this sacred desk real quick and say, brother, you're out of order. You want to fight with me? I guess we're going to fight. Because he ain't going to bring the house of God out of order. I'll get the same whip Jesus had and I'll run him slap out of this place. Come on now. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, saints of God. You say, I don't think this kind of preaching is necessary, Brother Rob. This kind of preaching has been necessary for a long time. And that's why America has fallen. That's why the churches of America have failed. That's why we got reprobates and pedophiles and perverts behind sacred desks. Because men of God quit preaching the gospel of God. And they started compromising because they were full of sin themselves. Amen? All right. Let's send this out in a book and send it to the churches. Amen. Brother Rob, they'll throw you off the radio with this kind of preaching. Yeah, they done did. All right. Verse 10. Let me read 9 again. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Is that Bible? How could you be born of the Spirit if you don't have a Spirit? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Quicken! The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, a quickening spirit. And what is he going to do with that quickening spirit? He's going to quicken your mortal flesh. And you're going to bring it upright into righteousness. You're going to walk like a son of God. You're going to talk like a son of God. You're going to be above the things of this world. And you're going to come out of drunkenness and alcohol and tobacco and whoring and lying and cheating and come out of Pentecostalism. Amen. Hallelujah. Number right in there with the sin, preacher. Amen. Praise God. I like that. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I'd rather be a heroin addict as a compromised Pentecostal preacher. Because when I was a heroin addict, I knew I was lost. And I knew I was a sinner. And I knew I needed God. But when you are a Pentecostal and you talk in tongues and they all accept you and you all dance together and you dance with your wives, it just proves you ain't of God. And you think it's okay because they've okayed it. God hasn't okayed it. You better get out of that fleshly lust. When you go to a church and they got the dancers, the praise dancers, and the little ballerina girls, and it's big in the Pentecostal move, and they got their little flags and their little tutus and they dance around, you better run out of that church. Because that pastor that has allowed that is full of the devil. He is not of God. He's never been born of God. He is fleshly. He savors the things that be of the flesh to let some little skinny okay, some poor little girl that's been perverted by a Pentecostal preacher that said this is pleasing to God. That poor little girl needs help. That poor little girl needs to get set free. That preacher, he needs help. And he needs to get ran slap off. Because he's going to be standing before God. But God, I prophesied in your name. He said, I never knew you. He's probably going to tell me, he said, you're a stench in the nostrils of me. That's what he's going to say. Brethren, you know what? We got a wonderful, powerful work of God here. I know you come here and you think, man, Brother Rob, you're wearing us out. But brethren, this message is going out of these doors. And there's people that are listening to this that have been already heard out there. They're tired of what they're seeing out there. And somebody's going to start showing some strength and making a stand against the perversion that's going on out there. Let me tell you something. This is a time of a gleaning and a weeding out. And there's going to be some that stay in that slop hole out there, and they're going to go to hell with that slop hole, or they might go through the tribulation and pay with their own blood while they're talking about their rapture. They'll find themselves in tribulation because of their carnal mind. And God might save them in the tribulation with their own blood. He may do that. That's what he's going to do with his own, like the Jews. And they'll have an earthly promise with the Jews. You understand that? But I got a heavenly promise. You know why? Because I'm already dwelling in heaven. Because I've already been raptured there. And I know people hear that. They don't understand that. They think it's all just some kind of religious gimmick. Brother Pike said, we'd be out on the evangelistic field. A guy asked him one time, another preacher, he said, Tim, he goes, what's your gimmick? He said, what you mean, sir? What is my gimmick? He goes, what do you do to get an offering? Boy, Brother George wore that rascal out. I think sometimes God would probably permit us to slap him, but I know Brother George did, and I haven't done it yet. Pray for me. And you know, they get real bold. I've had them rebuking me on the internet and stuff like that, and I meet them face to face. Boy, they cower down real quick. You know, they really do. They talk all big on there. They say, yeah, you're preaching big. I know, well, bring it on, brother. We'll be preaching it big. I'll have you up here in the altars. Has anybody seen me have a guy on the floor in the altars before? Have I ever done that? It wasn't me all along. It was the Lord. Set him up, didn't I? I hope it was God. My dad said, I didn't know whether to help him or you. Oh, God help me, have mercy. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. This is mortal part, but it's going to find that quickening Spirit. Okay? It's going to quicken this mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. This inner working of Christ is going to quicken this man, this mortal part. The part people see, the part people hear, the part people touch, the part people observe. It's going to quicken that. And if the quickening Spirit is Christ, then you're going to have the attributes of Christ. And without the attributes of Christ, you're none of His because you're in the flesh. It's pretty simple. Is that complicated? No. God help us. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, wait a second. For all you religious people that, oh, you know, Jesus died for me and, you know, nobody's perfect and nobody's good and, you know, and everybody, you know, is a sinner. What does it say right there? What did it just say? Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, if you put away your drunkenness, if you put away your drinking, and you put away your smoking, and you put away your lying, you put away your whoremongering, you put away your filth and your perversion and your lust of your body, you shall live. Now, why did he put a stipulation like that in there? Oh, but we can't do that. I can do all things in Christ. Amen. Amen. For if you live. Now, why did the same author that wrote over here in chapter 8, why did he write all that stuff in 7? But the things I want to do, I don't do it all. He got power in the Spirit is what happened, brother. Therefore, the brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the Pentecostals. As many as are led by the sons of God, they are the Baptists. As many as are led by the sons of God. No, it said, as many are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. That's what I am. And I denounce all that other stuff because it's man-made fleshly. And they had to put an identifying tag on the move of the Spirit. We're the sons of God, brethren. Don't be ashamed of it. I had an Assembly of God minister says, brother, I don't think I could say that. I said, what? Well, I don't think I could say I'm a son of God. Well, you ain't led by the Spirit then, my friend. Amen. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It didn't say, well, one day you're going to lay this old fleshly body down. Oh, one day you're going to do this and you'll be a son of God after you take your last breath. The Bible said, beloved, now, beloved, now, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Amen. And then yet this little sissified church world out here, you say that, you know, you're teaching that you're God's. Yeah, you better believe I'm teaching that we are God's because we're eternal and we have eternal life and we can't sin. Amen. And we're born of God. We're born of the Father. We're born of the Spirit. Amen. We're sons of God. And I'm shouting from every mountaintop, from every TV station, from every radio station. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. And I came to this earth to reach down and to bring you out of the mire, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. When you sit under a reprobate preacher and he says that you can't say that, he's a liar and he's the father of all lies. Amen, because he's one with his father, the devil, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, can I finish this chapter and we'll... Amen. You all right, bro? Praise God. Just hang on. Buckle the seatbelt, son. We're just about ready to hit the overdrive. All right? Maybe you'll hang on with me. Hope you can make it. I remember Brother Pike launching out into some places, man. It was unknown to me. I think, whoa, where's he going? Thought I was with him, man. But about the time we left the atmosphere, man, I saw him do. Help me, Jesus. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So be that we suffer with him. Now, why did he have to say that? I want to go back to the charismatic little, oh, Jesus loves us all just the way we are. What a perverted lie. He can't stand you the way you are. He despised your image. God repented that he made man. Well, that was God, but Jesus says, go back to a Catholic church, man. Just go kiss the Pope. Rub his feet. Count your beads, you Pentecostal reprobate. You call yourself a Pentecostal, I got more respect than a Catholic priest. And that's the truth. Catholic priests, man, have been bound in bondage and sin and perversion. But the Pentecostals were supposed to take and partake of the other side, of the world to come. They're supposed to be partakers of that. They're supposed to be enlightened by the heavenly gifts. That's why I'm speaking strong to them. Because they're supposed, and they've let America down. They've let the church world down. They've let the people of America down. Because they've turned it into a ritualistic. They turned it into a babbling tongue. They turned it into a little dance. They turned it into a little shout. And they go to church and they shout and they shout and they shout and say, well, we had a good time tonight. And nobody was edified. Nobody was set free. The only thing that was edified was their flesh, because it soothed their conscience, because the preacher told them they was all right, and that everybody sins and they sin every day. It's okay. God loves you. Nobody's perfect. I tell you, God would be more pleased if you sitting and listening to him. He'd be more pleased with you to go up and pick him up by his bootstraps and carry him out of the church. You say, Brother Rob, you can't tell us to do something like that. I just did. I'm just saying he'd be more pleased with that, but he wouldn't like that neither. Amen? You better find who you're numbered with, what you're numbered with. Two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. Some of you walking with some things, man, that'll get you in trouble. You can't sit under this kind of preaching and go out there and shake hands with the devil. Going to bring the wrath of God down on your head. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Don't forget that we're going to do some suffering, saints. This kind of preaching you hear tonight will bring suffering to you. It brings people ridiculing you, coming against you, mocking you. Amen? And some of you will sit and listen to it. That's the sad thing about it. Amen? There's some of you here that sit and listen to him mock Brother Rob, saying, oh yeah, he's just self-righteous. He thinks he's better than everybody. I don't think I'm better than anybody, brother. And I can esteem myself to be the least. But I'm preaching against sin tonight. And I'm preaching against the snare of the devil tonight. I'm preaching against the thing that's ruined your nation. Now, if you're such a big Pentecostal and you're so into Pentecostalism, then go start talking to your Pentecostal brothers and ask them why America has failed. Why? Why is America fallen? Why is America opening up the doors for uncleanness? Why are they using the colleges and the Muslims are getting a chances to pray and to chant over microphones in the colleges, but we can't say the name Jesus? Come on now, Pentecostals. You know, if I want to call myself, I'm going to say to you, we've all failed. Amen? We've all failed God. You say, well, what are we supposed to do, Brother Ram? Separate. Come out of the unclean thing. Amen. What do you think the author here? We know that God's the author of this word of God, the author and the finisher of our faith. But he is the one that God breathed this word. But the brother that wrote this right here, you know the suffering he had to do to come out of the Jews? You know the suffering he had to come to break fellowship with them and to come out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? That man knew what suffering was. Amen. And this is what we're doing today. The things I'm preaching against right now, I'm telling you, this is going to they'll bring suffering, brothers, because there ain't hardly a handful of preachers in the United States that would say yea and amen to this message I'm preaching in here tonight. Why? Because they're part of that Pentecostal foolishness that's going on out there. And they're still saying the same things and doing the same things, and they're walking together, they're fellowshipping together, and they're all compromising together, they're making the changes together. I tell you, you show me one denomination out there that calls himself holiness that's walking in the standard of what they was 25, 30, or 40 years ago. Somebody show that to me. And if I believe what my brethren and founders of the organization were preaching, that God was a God of holiness and taught us to come out, taught the women how to dress and taught the men how to dress and how to look into things to abstain from, but now it's okay? I just had a Pentecostal preacher send me, he's wrote me, and he's wanting to come over here and preach. I don't know him. He said, man, I'm really upset with the preachers, man. They won't give us the young evangelists a chance. They won't give us a chance to come out. You know, and they're ignoring and stuff like that. And I had to drive 5 hours to go preach at one place. You know, and this is the things I'm reading on his wall. But I go over there, you know, and he's, man, in the roller coasters at the theme parks, man, and out hunting and fishing and doing all, what's wrong with that, Brother Rob? He's supposed to be an evangelist. America's dying and going to hell. And he's got time to be at the theme park. He's got time to be on the lake. He's got time to be out there in that field. We ain't got time for it, brethren. People are dying and going to hell. When you got time to keep up with all that kind of stuff, you ain't doing what you should be doing. Amen. I'm not going to promote that stuff. I'm sorry. He said, well, you're just a little too religious for me, Brother Rob. Well, I like the way it is. I like my religion. It's undefiled. Amen. Okay, I'm making it down through here. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Where's it going to be revealed, saints? Okay, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are they waiting on? We're the sons of God, and they're waiting for us to manifest and bring the word of God and separate. Oh, but Jesus is coming back. Yeah, you missed him. He was standing at your heart's door knocking, and you sold out to Beelzebub. Amen. For I reckon that the sovereign of this present time, not worthy to be compared with the glory, shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The church world calls that a rapture. For we are saved by hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I wish I didn't take so much time to get to right here. That's a beautiful message right there. That's a 2-day sermon right there. I'm telling you. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And it searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Why did he predestinate you, my brother, that says that you're predestined in Christ and that you can't sin and you're hid away with him and sealed in? Why did he predestinate you? Why? Let me hear it. Why? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, he was the firstborn of many brethren. Now I'm a brethren, so I'm to conform to that image. Is that right? Is it the image of the sinful flesh that he came in? The Bible, we said it right in the chapter before, that he came in the image of sinful flesh. Is that what he's telling me to conform to? No. We're not to know him after that flesh. But we're going to conform to this image of righteousness, of holiness, of godliness, of virtue. Come on now. Brethren, this is bringing it to an accountability. It's bringing it to a manifestation. It's bringing it upright. It's bringing it out of the veil. It's bringing the invisible things upright in this man, in this mortal part. Let this mortal part be quickened by the Holy Ghost now. And then when it's quickened by the Holy Ghost now, that quickening will bring it through the full glorification and transfiguration. But if I don't allow it to quicken it now, it will never be changed. It has to go through the change in the second dimension, the soul realm. That's where that judgment seat was at, wasn't it, Brother Chuck? The mercy seat was in the third. The judgment seat was in the second. Go back and listen to it. Come on now. For whom he did foreknow. Now we're going to go home and have us a Bible study tonight. And for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now think about that. There's just some dimensions right there. Okay? Justification, sanctification, glorification. Amen. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. For what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. Amen. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall it not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So eat that, you backslidden preacher that teaches backsliding, and you that teaches that God loses some and that some fall away. Take and eat on that for a little bit and take it to your theologians. All right, amen. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing gonna touch a son of God, amen. Sealed in and hid away, amen. Nothing could be laid charge. He never lost one, brethren, except that son of perdition. He ain't gonna lose you. When you're his, you're predestined him, you're hid away, amen. Nothing could touch you, amen. Not even Pentecostalism. Praise God. Amen. You against them Pentecostals, aren't you, Brother Rob? No. I love them. Amen. I was one. I got saved. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. I could hear the same spirit that was preaching in the 1500s to the Catholics, saying it isn't by your ordinances. It isn't by those saints. It's by faith. It's by faith. And he got numbered. And the church was going to kill him. Oh, I got some Pentecostal friends that listen to something like this, and they want to kill Brother Rob. Some of them already have. You know how many times Brother Rob's been killed, and Jesus Christ's blood has been trampled afresh? See, people don't understand that. You come against this message right now, you're bringing the blood of Jesus afresh under your feet. This message was brought to you tonight by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. That's who it was brought to you by. This wasn't a message from, you know, some denomination or some sect of people. It was by the living Spirit of God saying, this is the failures in the present day and hour. It makes you not popular. It closes doors. It makes people not desire you. Makes people not want you. Amen?
Amen.
How many Catholic churches did he get to visit after he brought this message about the Catholic Church? How many churches do you think that they invited him over to preach? How many times do you think he was counting beads with them after that? He was separated, brethren. This is why I told you, even in the healing move, they wouldn't accept it in the churches. That's why the big tents came in, brethren. They wouldn't accept this. They wouldn't accept that God's healing. Oh, that was done away with back then. And they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. I'm not esteeming Brother Branham's doctrine. I'm esteeming the doctrine of Christ. But Brother Branham was a Baptist man. And his own mother had told him, he said, don't you go out there around them Pentecostal people. They're filthy. They're dirty. Stay away from them. And he said, the Lord dealt with them. It was his mother told him that, wasn't it? A mother-in-law. Okay. And he said, the Lord told him. I think his wife was killed in one of the, in a, not the last car wreck, but another time. There was in a wreck or something. She died, I think, in a flood. And he said he heard this thing coming back to him about that filthy thing. And he said, man, he come out of that. He went over to a meeting that we would have called a Pentecostal type meeting. And they called him out from back in the back, and they let this old Baptist boy come up and preach. You know, you say, well, you're preaching against Pentecostalism. You're telling this guy just got drafted into it. And you say, I don't understand what you're saying, Brother Rob. What did he get drafted out of? Are all those people offended? Do you believe that there is a time? You know, was Elijah, was he unsettled when he had to leave the brook? Was he unsettled, but God made provisions at the widow's place for him? And then he goes up on a mountain, Carmel, you know, and the man, the world had been in a drought, no rain and things like that, and he brought rain. He had the power to bring rain. Do you realize that? He brought rain. He had been there, I think, 3.5 years, and he brought rain. Mm-hmm. That was a prophet of God.
Amen.
You see, but there was something that changed. These things change. And you say, well, you don't have to destroy the other foundation, Brother Rob, if something's changed. I didn't destroy the other foundation, brother. And the foundation was strong and factual. But what I'm saying is what they've done to it. They've turned from it. Come on now. They turned. They've departed the faith. I'll tell you what, in the early 1900s and all the way up to the 50s and 60s, some of these old Pentecostal preachers, and you bring them back, and you think Brother Rob's preaching strong and offending people right now? I'm going to tell you something. Those men of God, Brother Pike was the kind of man, and this is what he said. Now, I know some of you will probably take this against him, but he said, I'd rather see two men come in my men's meeting and take and cuff up their shirt and deal with it right there in the presence of the brotherhood as take it out and smite and smear and sow discord out there. He said, at least they're man enough to do it right here. No, he didn't like that. I'm not saying he condoned that, but he said that's better than going out there crucifying somebody on a job site and saying, oh, well, you know, they just ain't spiritual. They just ain't got what I got. I wish I'd had Brother Chuck send me that paper up here. But it was a thing about these little quotes from 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds. And there was some profound statements made, as you've seen, as they come up through some time. And it said, most of the time when people are blasting somebody, it's because of their own problems that are trying to make them better than them. I don't remember how it said it. You say, that's what you've been doing all night, preacher. You've been blasting the Pentecostals, so you're guilty of what you just said. All right, I'm going to let you keep that. And just pray for me. Amen. But I'll tell you what, you might be speaking against the Holy Ghost that's reaching for your soul to save your soul from hell because you got a snare in your mortal flesh that's dragging you into this mess, cesspool of iniquity. Two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And Brother George Pike made this statement. He said that Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists of America, said with more presence, he said he's a Catholic. And they said, oh, no, he's not a Catholic. And he said, oh, yes, he is. He said, oh, yes, he's a Catholic. Two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And if I'm out here walking in agreement with this stuff that they have turned into this present-day religion, I'll burn in hell with them. And I'm going to face the same judgment with them. I can't walk with them. I might be among them, leaning, looking not to apostolate. But if you glean the elect, you're going to get a mind. And they're going to start finding the mind. And they're going to start listening to mind. They're going to say, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. And God's going to be drawing them out. See, God was drawing me out of what I'm talking about long before I came to the revelation of Jesus Christ. But I had enough discernment. I said, this isn't right. There's something wrong here. And he was drawing me out. And then when I heard something that I didn't understand, but there was a spirit drawing me. There was something drawing my spirit. I didn't know anything about Brother George other than he put a picture in my face and rebuked me. Amen. I did not know if he believed in tongues or speaking in tongues. I didn't know if he was a Pentecostal, a Baptist, a Methodist. I didn't know anything about him. I sat in there and got reproved by him and sat there. How long was I there, Pete? An hour and a half? And fellowshiped with him, but he took my spirit. And I said, this is what you've been yearning for and longing for. And I made arrangements to move. Never even heard him preach one message. And I left that place, said, this is where I'm going. I was moved by the Spirit of God. Amen. And by a brotherhood. It wasn't just Brother Pike alone, it was brethren likewise that moved me. I saw men with a vision. I saw men that had a desire to do something for God. There was men all over that property, working and laboring. There was men in tape offices, men in art offices, men in video offices, men out building buildings, men out digging. There was something going on all around. Men had a vision. That's what wins souls into the kingdom of God. Amen. Brethren, I'm sorry to keep you so long, but we're really just getting started. If you could receive what you heard tonight, it'll make you a candidate to open up some things to you that you could start walking beyond the snare of religion, beyond the feebleness of a failing ministry in America, upon a failing church that God looked at them and found them being weighed in the balances and found them wanting. Amen. Yes, he loved the elect lady so much. But brethren, they have turned, and it's to be made manifest that they was never of him. Amen. Let's sing a song, brethren, and we're going to close. Amen. Pray for me. If you're not in agreement with this, pray for me. If you can show me Bible where I've erred here tonight, you owe it to me to come to me. Amen. But I'm telling you, brethren, you better get in the Word. You better get out of religion. Amen. There's a snare in it. It'll pull you in and snare you. Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not go weary. Shall walk and not.
Brethren, I spoke tonight against a time and a group. If you take this message tonight and you think I'm against every man or woman that calls himself a Pentecostal, you didn't understand, Brother Rob, tonight. I'm talking about a movement that has been defiled. I've had friends that were in a move over the years called the Assembly of God. And as they saw the disgrace and the abomination and the compromise of that organization, they started coming out of it. I came out of it in the early to mid 80s. Now they're even worse. There's people that are coming out, as I gave you a report of a man that had one of the largest apostolic churches over here. And he's changing the name on it because he don't want to no longer be numbered with what they're doing in that organization. And he's coming out of it. I know dear people that are involved and intermingled with many Pentecostal works. Some Trinity, some oneness, some whatever. That are wonderful men of God that are true and sincere and love God. But they better be careful. Because if they keep on compromising, they're going to find themselves snared. And there's a time of separation. There's a numbering time. There's a thrashing floor where the chaff and the wheat are being separated. The sheep and the goats. The tare and the wheat. And brethren, this is a time that God suffered them all to be gathered together. And there's many great works of God, big with thousands of people. And they're being gathered together. Today, listen! They're being gathered together today. They're being gathered in big bundles for one reason. The ones that weren't gathered for righteousness were gathered to be taken and burned. And most of the religious move today is being gathered together in a bundle for God to get them together, and they're going to be cast into outer darkness. Thus saith the Lord. The largest percentage, the largest percentage of organized religion in America is going to hell. Thus saith the Lord, or I'm a false prophet and I'll burn in hell. The largest percentage! I got one here that's got his heels dug in against me so bad it's vexing me. It's grieving me so bad. And he'll burn in hell. I'm telling you. I'm telling you this. I'm going to say it again. And I'll burn in hell if this ain't the truth. Thus saith the Lord. The biggest percentage of people professing Christianity in United States of America are going to burn in hell. I'm sorry. The Bible said small flock, little flock, few be there that find it. The righteous scarcely make it. When he brought them out of Egypt, look what they did. The ground opened up. When he put them in a boat, look what they did. But only eight. I'm telling you, brethren, you're religious. You better realize that it's a little flock and that the righteous scarcely make it. And when he said, "This is what I've done to my only beloved son," how much more so to the ungodly and the sinner? Brethren, it's by the grace of God any of us will make it by his mercies. We better wake up, shape up real quick. Amen. Brethren, my desire is not for one person to go to hell. Not one. No, not one. It's not God's desire. I'm not preaching like I'm glad that anybody's going to hell, brethren. But I'm telling you, we better wake up and see the realities of what's going on and don't get entangled in the snare. I'm telling you, Satan is the master of deception, and if he deceived the Sanhedrin in the day and hour that Jesus was here, if he deceived the people so bad that they're screaming to give us the murderer and take the Son of God himself and nail him to a cross and kill him, and we're going to sit here and think that this whole religious institution and order in America can't be deceived, and then yet you see the failure of your nation and you see him opening up the doors for every unclean and ungodly thing, and then you think like the church is still here. I'm telling you what, it's God's drawing out.
Amen.
Gross darkness has got to come. How does gross darkness come? By the Spirit of God drawing out. We're the light.
Right.
You understand? This is why I don't fellowship with them. Because God's pulling the light out before he can put them in darkness. You say, well, I'm the light and I'm going to go out there and glean some out. Praise God. I'm with you. I'll be right there beside you. I'm trying to look for some too. But I'm not going to become them. I'm not going to compromise with them to reach them. I'm not going to look like them. I'm not going to dance like them. I'm not going to shout like them. I'm not going to preach like them. I'm going to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to preach whatever God puts on my heart. And if they like it, praise God. If they hate it, glory be to Jesus. If they hated Him first, they're going to hate me too.
Amen.
I find it worthy to be persecuted for the namesake of Jesus Christ. Don't dig your heels in, friends. Brethren, I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, things are a frightening time and hour. And I could take you again through the history of God, how little of a flock that made it in. And why do you think it'd be any different today? And why was it recorded in the books? Come on now. It's a little flock, brother. Amen. A little flock. Great man of God, Brother Pike. 500, 600, I don't know what there was. 400, I don't know what there was. But he said, catch on one hand. Was he a man of God or what? Was he a man of God? He saw people playing with God, playing with the revelation, playing with religion. He was preaching this kind of stuff, brethren, in the 70s. He's seen this, but nobody else did. It made him not liked. Prophesied one of the greatest men of God's
Jesus
death, and the people, man, not no way, despised him for it. Brethren, I'm telling you, we better be careful. I love you. You got all hope, faith, got all opportunity, but we need to be careful. What we're listening to, what we're taking heed of. Brethren, this ain't my message, this ain't my word. It's His word. And I'm just telling you, man, it's closing time. Just compare what I'm saying to the Word of God. And look at what's happening out there. You think that I'm pleased to say that the majority of the religious people are going to hell? You think I'm pleased to say that? But I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches us. It's a little flock, brethren. The righteous scarcely make it. Scarcely make it. I'm sorry, it ain't gonna be these big numbers. I know they've taught you about this rapture and airplanes coming out of the sky. Man, we had 50 pilots working for my father and I, and not one of them had the Holy Ghost. Not one of them. All the pilots I knew were whoremongers and partiers. All the airline pilots, they leave their wife at home. Honey, I'm going to work. I love you. I'm taking a load to Japan. I'll be back tomorrow night. And they're over there with some Jap broad, huh? So you don't have to worry about no airline pilot getting caught out of the seat. You say, oh, I know one that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't say there wasn't one out there, but I'm just saying, they teach all this stuff. Cars are going to be crashing. It's such a small flock that would be caught out of here right now. I don't think the world would even miss it. They wouldn't see it. You say, oh, you just took away the mercy and the grace of God. No, this is the mercy and the grace of God preaching tonight. How many was with Him? What happened to His 12 that were so close when they grabbed Him up and dragged Him off? What happened to them? They were denying Him. See, we just don't understand. And we get upset and we think, oh, you know, this preacher, you know, just took away the love of God. No, this is the love of God preaching the gospel tonight. This is the love of God saying, come out of that unclean thing and be separate. The church is numbered with the world now, so you better be careful with what church you're walking with. Amen. I'm sorry to say, many of these religions are much more accountable than the world. I expect the world to sell alcohol in the bars. I expect the bartender to be a whoremonger. You understand that? I expect the pigsty to stink when I go to the pig farm. But when I go to the house of God, I don't expect some perverted preacher in there that has busted up a hole. I had one right here preaching from this sacred desk in the last couple of years. And I said he had women problems. And he goes off and runs off with another man's wife. Now he's still down there preaching. You know what that makes everything down there in South Carolina? It makes it a cesspool of iniquity. Oh, where's your mercy, Brother Rob? The mercy is preaching the gospel and keep yourself unspotted from the world and don't get caught in the snare of Satan. Amen? Or you're just too strong. Hey, I pray for the little brother's soul, that God will save his soul. But when they number him back in and let him keep on preaching, they condone the sin. I'm sorry. Well, you just don't have no mercy, preacher. Well, your mercy's failed the whole church. Your mercy has brought the whole church organization to the dirt. This is mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. The judgments for the Son. Amen. We're the sons of God, and that's why the judgment of God is coming forth now. The judgment is in the house of God, and it's now. Yield to it now, or you'll burn in hell later. Let your sin go before you, not after. All right, you can sing again. I'm closing, I promise. I'm fired up. I'm sorry. Oh, I like the old-time Pentecostal. You don't like the old-time Pentecostal ways because them preachers would be so sick. They would be so sick of this slop hole mess out there. You guys ain't seen nothing. I know them old-time Pentecostal preachers. They didn't like sin, and they preached against it, and they didn't like compromise. And when I don't care what they put name over their door, when he seen them compromising, they'd be in their face, wearing them out. Billy Sunday was a Baptist. And you know what he'd do? He'd get in their face, and he'd say, "I'll slap 7 different kind of devils out of you, sir." That's exactly the way Billy Sunday talked. Go read some of his stuff. He said, "I'll slap 7 kinds of devils out of you, sir." That's the way he talked to a man that would beat his wife. He said, "I'll slap that devil out of you." I like Billy Sunday. Somebody, let's give Billy Sunday a hand. We need some preachers to come back like Billy Sunday that ain't afraid to preach against sin, ain't afraid to get somebody mad at them. Amen. To quit compromising and quit selling out. Amen. And let sin be sin, and let the devil be the devil, and let righteousness be righteous, and let the filthy be filthy still. Amen. And let the righteous be righteous still. That's what my Bible says. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We'll get Brother Frady come up here and dismiss us tonight. I love you. Pray for me. If I made you mad tonight, get prayed through and get over it. Stay in the altars tonight. Howl between the porch and the altars tonight. And ask God to save your soul, my friend. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.